As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." May the Lord bless the reading of this book.
I know that you think you know what I am going to say about this passage. You heard this in Sunday school years ago, didn't you? We all know what the answer is. Jesus scolded Martha for being a busybody, and he applauded Mary for being such a good contemplative listener. And in the end, Martha was told that she should be like Mary, and so we too should be less like Martha and more like Mary. I mean, Mary chose the better thing, didn't she? She did. For that exact moment. I'm not sure, though, that in the whole flow of biblical teaching, that that's the best way to understand the life of Mary and Martha. You know, I don't think Martha was wrong to want to serve the Lord in that context. And I'm not really sure that sitting at his feet is necessarily inherently better than serving him. That's just not a contrast that the rest of the New Testament makes. So, does Martha really deserve this misguided busybody label that she usually gets saddled with? Or is it a case where there's more to her than that? And what if you are naturally more of a Martha in that you like to serve than you are naturally a Mary in that you are more of a contemplative person? What then? Those are some of the questions that I want to get into here this morning as we look at this little passage in Luke. So I would ask you to join me in Luke 10. So we're in Luke 10, and we're starting in verse 38. Now, Jesus has spent a lot of time crisscrossing the countryside, hasn't he? I went back and looked at the schedule. We've been in Luke for 10 weeks now. Can you believe it? 10 weeks we've been at Luke. I don't even feel bored yet. We have been in Luke for 10 weeks, and this whole time, Jesus has been crisscrossing the countryside back and forth across the sea, and he's teaching, he's doing miracles, and he goes over here, and he does another miracle, and he teaches. Notice, though, that we have never heard where he stayed, where he ate. You know, as a kid, I really liked He-Man. Sort of the cartoon He-Man. That was the first show that first cartoon that I loved. First show was probably Today's Special. But man, first cartoon, He-Man all the way. And you'll laugh at me because this is what kind of kid I was. I always thought about these guys. Well, when do they eat? When do they go to the bathroom? How do they go to the bathroom with those impractical pants? You know, they're always, you know, running around and beating up bad guys and solving problems and doing all these things. But when do they sit and eat? Where do they sleep? It's just kind of weird, generalist, apparently, to think. These are the sorts of details that often get left out of stories, right? They're just not that interesting. So we don't usually talk about them in stories, in narratives. But in this narrative, we do get one of those mundane notes. Jesus and his disciples were going to eat and sleep somewhere. It is, in chapter 10, verse 38, at Martha and Mary's house. You know, they get into town, they don't check into the Super 8, they're going to stay with whoever it is that will open their doors to them. And on this particular occasion, it is Martha and her sister Mary who welcome him. Now, notice it does say Martha opened her home to him. And so a lot of scholars will speculate at this point that Martha is the older one. She is the owner of the house. Chances are good that she is widowed at this point because she has the house and the resources to be able to host all of these people. Martha, her Aramaic name literally means exalted lady, sovereign lady, ruling lady. And her actions reflect that, don't they? You kind of get the all business, oldest child vibe from Martha. I say that as an oldest child. So when she is going to host Jesus, she goes all out, doesn't she? She prepares a place for him and his disciples to sleep. She goes to the market to fill the pantry with all the food that she'll need to feed this small army of people. She cleans and sweeps and tends the fire and tries to get everything just right. Jesus is coming. It's Jesus that's coming to her house. And her instinct is to serve him. Now, Martha had another sister, or Martha had a sister, her name was Mary. If Martha is the type A OCD personality, Mary is the exact opposite of that, right? She's quiet, patient, emotional. When she learned that Jesus was coming over, her instinct was to sit at his feet and listen to him. And the fact that Jesus welcomed her is a fascinating thing in this time and place. You know, culturally speaking, generally speaking, only men could listen to rabbis. Women were not allowed to learn these sorts of things. There's actually later rabbis that wrote, it's better to burn the Torah, better to burn the scriptures, than to let women read it. But Jesus knows God's not like that. God's grace, God's teaching is for men and women alike. And so when Mary comes to sit at his feet, he is more than happy to welcome her. Martha, though, is not happy that Mary is there. You know, she's working away in the kitchen, slaving over a hot stove, and it's driving her crazy that Mary is not helping her. So she dries her dishpan hands and goes out to Jesus and says, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work? Tell her to help me. Jesus knew Martha's heart. Jesus knew that her instincts were right. She wanted to genuinely serve him. She wanted to prepare a place for him. And over and again, that sort of service is applauded in the New Testament. Acts 6, for example, you know, there's that time when there's some issue about the food distribution amongst the people in the congregation, and they anoint some guys to serve tables to make sure everybody gets provided for what they need. That's the exact language that Luke uses to describe Martha here. What Martha is doing is good and fine. There's nothing wrong with her desire to serve. But as verse 40 says, Martha was distracted by all of the preparations that she made. She genuinely wanted to serve Jesus, and yet those very acts of service were distracting her from him. They were distancing her from him. She was so caught up in the details of it that she wasn't paying attention to him. One scholar writes, Martha is making a mistake common to hosts. She is in danger of getting so bogged down in the details of hospitality that she forgets the point of the whole exercise, which is to enjoy the company of your guests. That happens to me sometimes, something we want to guard against. And so the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, or you are troubled and anxious over many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and I will not take it away from her. Martha's impulse to serve is appropriate. Mary's impulse to sit is appropriate. But Martha is serving in a way that's drawing her away from God rather than closer to him. And that's the issue here. Maybe Martha was trying to make a 5-star gourmet meal that she saw in a Martha Stewart book. I don't know. Maybe she was fussing over table linens and centerpieces and matching decor and all the feng shui in the room. In looking after all of those things, the many things, she is missing out on the one thing that's important in that moment, spending time with Jesus. And of course, that's what Mary is doing, right? Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. She's listening. She's learning. She's coming to know Jesus better. And so she comes off looking pretty good. So oftentimes we come away from this thinking, okay, serving bad? I don't, serving something. Sitting at Jesus' feet, good. Martha, Mary, good. But I'm not sure that's really fair to Martha, especially given her, well, her next appearance in the Bible. She is not just some one-dimensional busybody. Martha is someone very in tune with the Lord. Let me show you why I say that. Martha and Mary are going to appear again in John. And I want to take you there very briefly. We're going to go to John 11. So turn in your Bible to John 11. Well, I know that you know this passage. It's very familiar, so we'll kind of move quickly through it. What happens here in John happens sometime after what happens in Luke. And for whatever reason, Luke hasn't told us about this other person in the family, Lazarus. My guess is that Lazarus didn't have a role to play in the Mary, Martha, sitting, serving thing, and so he was just one of the details that got left out. We do that in stories, don't we? So Mary and Martha, it turns out, also had a brother whose name was Lazarus, and Lazarus was very sick. So sick, in fact, that they thought, okay, we need to call Jesus back to see if he can help him. Jesus heard the news. He didn't go immediately back to Mary and Martha's place. He waited, not because he didn't care, but because he knew that this sickness was not just a normal illness. It was going to be a living object lesson that would reveal his power and his glory. So he waited, and in the meantime, Lazarus died. It took him 4 days, Jesus, 4 days, Lazarus in the tomb before he got there. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, this is verse 20, she went out to meet him. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never truly die. Do you believe this? Now, those words on their own are a spiritual treasure. They are the foundation that I stand on every time we lay one of our loved ones to rest. I want to scream those words out and say, this person, even though they have died, they will live forever. And we who survive will never truly die because Jesus has died a death in our place and been resurrected back to life. We will rise again because of Jesus' completed work. If we would only believe in him. For he says to Martha, do you believe this? And he calls each of us, do you believe this? His life, when we believe, his life becomes our life. His resurrection becomes our resurrection, and that is the hope that we build that's the hope that we build on for eternity. Now, that in itself is a treasure. But what Mary says is incredibly profound. Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Therefore, you can do that. You can give that life. Now, I'm going to test your brains for a minute here. We've been looking at Luke for a while now, haven't we? 10 weeks. And what's the general flow of Jesus' ministry? Did people get right away who he was? No. He does a miracle. He does some teaching over and over again. People are saying, who is this? Who is this that he talks to the wind and it obeys him? Who is this that he does these things? Who is this? And then that leads Jesus to say, well, who do the crowds think I am? And then he says, who do you disciples think that I am? And that leads to this huge revelation in Luke where Peter finally says, you're the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the one that God sent to bring in all of the promises that he has left to us over the last 2,000 years. You are the Christ. That's a big, earth-shattering moment in the life of the disciples. And then, of course, that gets capped off a little bit later on, right? You are the Christ, the Son of God. Okay, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. And then the very next thing is what? The transfiguration. And what's the cap on that? God speaks from a cloud and says, this is my Son. Listen to him. Those are earth-shattering, life-altering revelations in the lives of the disciples. This is the Christ. This is the Son of God. And that's what we find on Martha's lips. Martha. If any sister was going to get it, if you play with the stereotypes, it should have been Mary, right? But it's Martha that grasps, this is the Christ, the very Son of God. How does she know that? She too has spent time with the Lord. She too has sat at his feet to understand who he is. She's not just some servant person. I would say she has probably learned her lesson, as it were, and realized, okay, I will serve, but I'm going to do it with a sitting heart. I'm going to serve, but I'm going to do it with my attention focused on him. I'm going to serve, and I'm also going to sit and think about who he is and let that drive my service. Yeah. I think ultimately the takeaway for us is this. There is a time to sit. There is a time to serve. And a faithful believer will do both. Right? There is a time to sit at Jesus' feet. There is a time to serve Jesus. And faithful believers will do both of those things. You know, given Luke chapter 10, it's obvious that sitting at Jesus' feet is important, isn't it? In that immediate context, Jesus says, this is the better thing. Sitting to listen to me when this time is to sit and listen to me is the thing that you need to do. So in those moments, we need to sit. We need to listen. We open our hearts to the Bible. We ask him to speak into our hearts. Maybe you go for a walk and pray. Maybe you sit and pray. That's time spent at Jesus' feet. There's time for us to sit. But we can't think that the Christian faith is just some sort of inward contemplative faith. If we don't serve too, then our faith is going to atrophy. You know, our sitting is meant to propel us forward into service in the world. You know, we can't make dinner for Jesus the way that Martha did, but certainly we can make meals for one another. And I mean, what did Jesus say in Matthew? Whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers, you are doing for me. There's a time to sit. There's a time to serve. One is not better than the other inherently. I'm very confident in that, because what's the thing that comes immediately before Mary and Martha? It's the Good Samaritan. which clearly teaches that Jesus' followers will serve one another, and in so serving, serve God too. I know that probably most of us look at that and go, okay, yeah, I know. Duh. I know that. But I think it's good to say, okay, am I acting on it? Not just I know that that's true, but am I doing it? Am I taking time to sit at Jesus' feet? Am I taking time to learn from him, to grow in relationship with him? You need to carve out that time. It's not just going to appear in your calendar. You need to make time. And are you serving? Am I making an effort to go into the world and serve the least of these, his people? You know, it was interesting. I've gone completely off the script, Everett, so don't worry about it. Yeah, it was really interesting this week to be at Friendship House and to be thinking about this, because I was there with the other youth and I was, you know, pushing my mop around, and I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing right now? Am I serving in a way that draws me nearer to Christ or draws me away from him? Am I fussing about this or am I settled with my heart on it? And it struck me, yeah, serving with a sitting heart is crucial. That is, serving with a heart that is so fixed on Jesus that as if you are sitting at his feet even as you serve. You know, I have over time really grown to appreciate Martha. She is clearly a service-oriented person. She's the kind of person that would rather serve than sit still. But her confession of faith in Jesus over in John shows, you know what, she's not just this busybody. She is a person who has taken time to know the Lord and to grow in relationship with him. So, you know what, if you are naturally kind of a Martha, it's okay. Serve, just make sure you take the time to sit. And if you're kind of naturally a Mary, well, that's good too. But make sure you take the time to serve, too. Because there is a time to sit and there is a time to serve, and we as faithful believers need to do both. Let's pray. Jesus, we are grateful that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. That reality makes these promises that you've given us in John, well, in the whole of the Bible, especially in John, a great source of hope. Even if we die, we will live. Jesus, given that that's who you are, given that that's the blessings that you give to us, I want to know you better. I want to faithfully serve you. Lord, I pray that you would draw each of us nearer to you. Throughout this week, remind us, Lord, to take quiet time to sit with you and to think about who you are and to learn about who you are in your word. And then, Lord, may that push us out into the world to serve. Lord, you know the least of these, your brothers. Help us to serve them. Give us joy like that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.